So I have a friend who's doing a homeschool thing, and he's in charge of the writing for a Latin curriculum. And he said that their main thing when you hit fourth and fifth grade is don't allow your kids to correct any of their writing. Have them just write and write and write and write. And he did this opening thing for their homeschool group, and he said every parent and almost every kid, their answer to what's your biggest stopping when you're writing is fear. It was so interesting, he said, after being in this class. In fact, he said the guy's curriculum that they're using says never, ever let your children write with a pencil. As soon as they stop and turn that pencil around and have the opportunity to erase, they have lost their train of thought. They start self-editing. They start guessing them, second-guessing themselves as they go forward. And they take the time and they erase it instead of just writing and writing and writing. So it's a good confirmation for some of the stuff we talked about last week. Now, a couple of the things that we've learned. The first week we learned how to start. And we overcame the number one practical reason for not writing a book when you want to write a book is, or it still is, you don't know where to start. So now none of you have that excuse. You all know how to start, okay? And then we shoved resistance or fear out of the way, push out of the way. We barreled forward, got a topic. Got some title ideas, committed to a topic. How many have a title? Awesome. We started. So then we had some reasoning for fear. We got beyond that fear. So you're going to hear fear again. If you don't, you're probably not writing enough. You're probably not writing deep enough. You're probably not telling the story you really want to tell. Okay? Because when you start writing and you're not correcting, you start writing, you're like, ooh, do I want people to know that? Or do I want to say it that deeply or that much or that passionately or to expose myself as that part of the story? If that's how I really think. Okay? So you're gonna face that fear, but I want you to just keep pushing past that. So look at your neighbor and say, you are brave.
You are brave.
Nobody said it to Cherie.
You're so brave.
All right, now give yourselves a hand for being brave. Make sure everybody's clapping. All right, now look at your neighbor and say, you need to keep being brave. You can say it more than one time. I like how Kathleen pointed at them and say, keep being brave. Keep being brave. We think of bravery often as like going to one class, doing one thing, but you have to keep being brave. You have to keep competing. You have to keep getting out there because you're really not competing. The cool thing about writing a book as an adult is nobody's telling you to do it. Nobody's forcing you to do it. It's something that you want to do. And what if you could exercise the same amount of discipline and have the same amount of passion and commitment to what's in your heart to do rather than to what you're told to do? Like you have to show up for work. You have to do your job. We put a lot of commitment to that, but we don't put commitment to what's in our heart to do. So I want to challenge you to keep that commitment. Keep being brave by honoring yourself, honoring your time, honoring what's in your heart to do. Okay?
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
I have a friend that's an author. She's doing very well. She does spin-offs from the Jane Austen books.
Mm-hmm.
She does, and she's doing really well. But she did a talk for us one time, and she said she was always afraid of everything. Her parents kind of taught her to be afraid.
Yeah.
So she was afraid to do everything. So her motto in life is do it afraid.
Do it afraid. I like that.
Good.
That's right. Yeah, because courage, there's a saying that courage isn't the absence of fear.
Right.
It's acting in the face of fear. You're still afraid.
Yeah.
Every military guy has got to still be afraid.
Yeah.
The people giving a speech, I was reading, I can see Renee Zellweger. Who was the guy that played opposite of her?
Bradley Cooper.
No, in the one where she's like a real fuddy duddy and Hugh Grant.
Oh.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah,
Hugh Grant's been in a ton of stuff. He's kind of dropped out for a while. He's back in a few things. And I was reading an article on him, and he said he just has such a hard time acting because he'll be doing it, and right in the middle of it, he'll be terrified. He won't remember any of his lines. He won't know what to do. And he just has to go back to his trailer and be defeated for a little bit before he comes out and steps up to the plate again.
Wow.
I'm like, that's like amazing. Henry Fonda vomited before every time he took the stage in a play. Every time. So you just keep doing it because it's in your heart to do it. Once you're engaged, once you cross over that line, you're engaged and it gets really exciting. Yes?
You know how last week you were talking about just sit and write.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it again. Don't stop.
Right, right.
And I've had that. And my hang up, I can't say that it was fear, but it was, you can say that better.
Right, right.
Better. You can reword that.
Right.
And I would try to go on, but it was like, that was so in my brain.
Yeah.
I can't go on because I can say this better.
Right.
And how do I say it better?
Right. Well, that is self-editing. That's self-editing, even though it's not erasing. But this is what you do. You just start typing it. Do you write it by hand or you type it out?
Both.
Okay, so I type mine out because my mom made me take typing in 8th grade.
But
and then I played
typing, like you said.
Yeah, so what you do, all you do is you type and you say it, and then you just, you know, return and go to another paragraph and say, I might be able to say that better, but I'm not sure how. Then you return, you go on to your next thought. Then you know you can come back. Oh, you return. That's right, you go, but you pull that carriage over, right? But you just keep typing, and you see, you put yourself a comment in there because it's all rough. It's a rough draft. Mm-hmm. I'm
taking
that book.
You really type that?
I really type it. Absolutely. I love that. Sometimes I put, oh my gosh, I put, wow, that is an amazing thought. Put more into this.
Right.
But I keep going. I don't stop there. Because I've got a flow. You're looking for a map. You're looking for an outline. You're looking for where is this thought? Where is this book taking me? Not what I want the book to be like. I don't want to be in control of the book. I mean, some people can be, but most of us can't be. Most of us are too bound up. We're too afraid. We're too want it to sound really good. But so what you do, you literally type. If you see any of my stuff, you'll see, wow, this is great. I use wow. I use awkward. I need to check if this is even scripturally correct. Because sometimes you're like, this is awesome. Or you write down a verse and it's not even a verse in the Bible. But you don't want to take your time and spend 20 minutes to find out that it's not a verse in the Bible. Yeah, you don't. You don't do that at all. You're just a rough draft. It's a rough draft. And then what you do... So you just write it in there. So then you're taking that thought, and what you're doing, you're putting that thought, I can say this better, just write, I can say this better later, and then you just go on. That's all you do, you just keep writing. You don't erase, you don't backspace, and I'm a really fast typer, and I can think right there, I can backspace and correct and everything, and I hate anything that shows a red line that I misspelled. You just got to keep going beyond all that, and then... When you're watching The Voice or you're watching TV, you sit there and you go back and correct some of that stuff and you move things around. You're just writing. You don't even have to write in order. You can skip ahead. I'll go and I'll just click return a bunch of times and I'll write what I think the conclusion of that part is and I'll go back. You're just getting everything out for that 30 or 40 or 50 minutes. You really are. That's all you're doing. You're getting it out on your page. You're telling a story. Now, so I'm not done with Healing Wounded Land, but I was looking at today. It's the 9th or 10th time I've written it in like 4 years. Because I'm like, I can't do it. And I put it away. Oh, I don't even know where it's going. I don't even know how to end it. Then I read it this last time. I don't even have an ending. So I asked somebody to like look at it and write the ending. He's like, yeah, you do have the ending. Just call this last part that you did the conclusion. This is awesome. And then so you have those things for you so you don't self-edit. It's not like you're writing a math book. It's not like you're writing something that's just your ideas, your thoughts, your story, what you're going for. So that's super common. Super common. And you just have to do it. And then once you've written and you might get stuck, that's why I have these pages in here. I'm sorry, this last page here, it says, bright ideas for your next book. You should always be working on your next book. Because no, wait. See, oh gosh, see that? See, when you say, oh, that's too hard, or that what that is, but you just, that's because you're putting a lot of rules on yourself of what it has to look like, what you have to do. When I say start on your next book, I mean get a file folder, put my next book on it. And put, when you're thinking of stuff, just drop it in there. Drop it in there. Because what you'll want to do, you want to capture everything and put it in this book. Because it's going to be the best, biggest book in the world. But it's not. It's very unlikely that it's going to be the best, biggest book in the world. That's like a half of 1%. Not even that of all the books that are written now on Kindle. It's going to be your book. You want a book. And you want to be able to rewrite it, redo it, reuse it, repurpose, recycle. Everything that you can do with it. And they're teaching some classes now that you want to write a book, and then when you are selling the book, you want to write a workbook that goes with it, and then sell the video and the workbook on how people can pray, or how people can be set free, or how you can write a book for Kindle and make money. So then you have different things. Then you offer coaching for that. So you have all these different levels. The book is $9.99. The workshop is $39.99. Group coaching is $199. Individual coaching is $1,000. So they're taking one idea, one book that they did, and they're doing a bunch with it. It's very different than what you think. So if you're thinking, boy, that's exhausting, or it's really that you're putting like parameters on yourself that aren't you're boxing yourself in. Instead of like, my next book, I'm putting parameters, so I'm going to dump all this in a file. So it can be a physical file folder. I'm just learning now how to like cut and paste. Like if I read a great article, I put it, shush. Somebody went like, I know how to cut and paste, but being diligent of, I love this picture, I can actually copy this picture and put it in a digital file. So I'm doing away with files like this, young people.
Are you using Evernote for that?
I do use Evernote. It's a great way to capture on your phone. I use Evernote mostly if I have an idea or I like something. I text it to myself, and about every couple times a week, I put it in Evernote or in a cloud based program. So yeah, and Evernote's, don't show her yet. Don't get distracted by Evernote. Okay. But it is, that's honoring and capturing your ideas. Evernote will help you do that. And if you have Apple, you have a note application on there also that you can use. That's a great, thank you for sharing, both of you for sharing that. Is there any, because that's the next thing I'm going to, before we continue, are there any questions or anything we can help in the material so far or what you practiced over this last week? Before we go on. Yes.
Okay. I am writing based on a blog.
Okay.
And I put all the, it's basically email.
Good.
And that were like, it's like a blog.
Yep.
It was sent in email.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, how do I put God into chapters?
Okay, that's a great idea.
The subject, yeah. It's a Red House letter.
Yeah, yeah. That's you.
And I decided to put that first.
What I have to do is I have to get everything I have, and I have to organize it digitally. Like put a title on it. Well, then you, if you want to do it chronologically, you do that. But I put a title on it, even if it's number one, number two, number three. And then I have to print it all out and have to lay it out on my floor. Because I can't do it on my laptop or on my computer. Mm-hmm. Some people can. There's programs like I've got a screenwriting program that pops up those little these little sticky notes. And sometimes I have blue painter's tape, and I have a big wall, and I tape them all up there. I'll have like 30 or 40 pages up there, and I tape them all up there for a week, and I look at them. I'm like, God, this is going to be the dumbest thing in the world. I don't even know what to do with it. They're all out of order. Then you just start putting them in order. You scratch all over them. You highlight stuff that you really like on it. That becomes it. But you just do one thing. Don't think about how do I get my book in order, right? How do I categorize these? And then once you categorize them, say, how do I want them to, what order? Is there a natural order? Is there a story I'm telling? Or do I want to do it just because they're written chronologically doesn't mean you want to do it chronologically. Theme would be best. So don't think, how do I, don't try to be too clever and figure everything out before you could do one thing. Trust. I was going to say trust the angels. That's not quite how the guy says it, but for us, it's trust the angels that once you engage and you're at peace and you're going to step out and be brave, that angels actually show up with you. They actually then help you. So the whole idea of the resistance is like, this guy's a Kabbalah Jew, but it applies that every time you say, we said this the first night, every time you say, I want to be nicer, I want to quit swearing, I want to write a book, I want to be kinder, I want to be encouraging, I want to save more money, I want to get out of debt, everything starts opposing you and pushes against you. And that's resistance, and that's demons that this guy, it says at the end of his book, even though it's not a Christian book. But then he says, as soon as you step up and you face up to resistance, you face up to that contradiction, is as soon as you step into it, then that's when angels come and begin to help you. Because we're co-partners. God's not just going to give us stuff to write typically. And it happens, but we should ignore most of those stories. That God just took 50 pounds off of me, or that God just gave me $5 million. Those are awesome stories, but they're not usually the way God operates. Usually the way God operates is He wants to hear you say, I want to do this, I want to write a book. And then you begin to go through the process of getting set free so you can write that book, so you can move into that area. All right? Yes?
Do you use Word or Pages?
It doesn't.
Double space.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Do whatever you want.
Where you start. Just typing.
I just type, yeah.
And do you have it double spaced?
I have it 1.5 spaced or 1.2 spaced.
Okay, so that you've got room to scribble on it later.
Yes. Yes. I do.
You don't start with like book layout.
Nope. I just write a file and I start dumping everything into it. I had a thought today of a book I'm going to write. I was talking to a guy and he wants to fix his life with one tool, one thing. And that's by like, he wants to pray more and be a better person. But he doesn't want to have a friend in his life. He doesn't want to have a counselor in his life. He doesn't want to go to a men's group in his life. He doesn't want to read anything that he doesn't want to read. He doesn't believe in this and this and this. And I was thinking, there's at least, if you build a house, you need at least 15 tools, right? You need sandpaper and a paintbrush and a saw and a sledgehammer and a concrete guy and a rebar guy and a... I'm like, and I thought I could write a book, 15 ways to build your house or the house of your soul or something like that. And you would just start that and you'd name it and you just do that. That's all you do. It's a start. Yes.
This may not, pertain to it, if not just stop me. But you know what I'm writing. I'm tuning into the voice of God is the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that I've arranged it in this workbook is more topical.
Mm-hmm.
It's more,
right.
First doing this, second
right.
doing that. And then one time you told me, Kathleen, you need to put there was something in there that was real
story.
Funny. Yeah.
It was story.
You need to put that first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of putting it. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, I did.
And what was the reasoning behind that?
Because story engages people immediately.
Instead of
where facts,
the topical.
Facts don't. I'm not very good at starting with story. This last one, I started with story. I said, I think it was the day 850 people left the church. That's the start of my story. And the whole corporate repentance is on story. And so I have one singular story. And I had to leave out a lot of heroes and a lot of people in the story to make it just about this one thing. But you got to make it about one thing. Our brains like one thing. Everything is like when you're listening to me now, you're using up glucose, you're using up energy. That's why you can go to a workshop and 8 hours later be exhausted, even though you sat in a chair. Because your brain is using energy, and it's a lot of times using energy and not replenishing itself. Because you're not having fun, you're not talking, you're just listening the whole time. And that's a lot of wrong use of your brain. So what story does, story breaks it up, question and answer breaks it up. But story, if you could start with story. I told you about Rick Brown up here at Christ Bridge Fellowship. He wrote, his blog is, I think, One Life to Love or something like that. And he's a really good writer. And he started off with story again. And he pulled out his main thing. And it's, you read his stuff, you're like, wow. And he starts with story all the time. But he's always listening for story, but he preaches always using story.
So if you're doing topical, like this man on public speaking, does it matter where you start? I mean, how you, where you, you know, line up your chapters?
It can. We're going to get to chapters here. But the homework was to do some chapters. But it can. But a lot of that comes with fill. With that, like you feel it. Like it feels like this should go next. You should go third. This should go. But this is a thing. That this is why you don't self-correct. This is why you don't self-edit as you're typing. Because you don't want to own it and love it too much. You don't want to say it needs to be redone because it might have been brilliant. You just never thought about it, said it that way before. So if you erase it right then and there, you're like, oh, you might have just erased a really great idea, a really great way to say something that just flowed out of you. Just like when you speak. You speak, you just speak. You're not like super careful if you're with a friend. Well, you're with yourself. You're with a friend, somebody that you love greatly as yourself. And God, and you're like, God loves you and you're there and you're just writing down your thoughts. You're honoring your thoughts. You're honoring how God made you. You're putting it down there so if you self-edit. So when it comes to your chapters, don't be in love with how your chapters are done. Don't be in love with the order. Okay, so I'm going to reference back that book again. I'm reading the book. I'm like, gosh, I need to be a lot more positive because the story's really negative. And here's how you wound land. I need to start and take the ministry that's going on there, the influence they have around the world. I need to take that at the land that we were at and put it up over here at the beginning. But I'm not going to do that for this first draft because I don't think I can do that. I'm going to have to get help. Somebody's going to have to help me read it and say, you need to change your chapters around. I can't see. I can know there's something missing here. I had somebody read it and they're like, it's not, there's not enough emotion. You need more of this or, stuff like that. So you have all those things happen. You do a bunch of the work and then you can engage right people in helping you with that. But don't fall in love with your chapters. Don't fall in love with pieces because you're going to write stuff and it's going to, I love this part, but it's not going to go with your topic. And you take it out, and maybe that's your second book. That's another book. So you're not throwing it away. You're just removing it and putting it for another time. So
you throw away ideas. You just recycle them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and hopefully, if you're writing and you love it, you will have a whole lot of ideas around that topic. Jack Hayford's written 50 something books, and they're all about the same thing. They're all about the Bible.
Right.
I mean. Some people write tons of books, and it's all about prayer. It's all about the same thing. I'm reading this guy, John Eckert or something like that, and his is all around the prophetic. I mean, he's got 5 or 6 books all about the same thing. Even when you read about it on Amazon, you read his, they seem really much the same, but they're just getting deeper at different levels at different areas. So, hope that helps.
Yes, it does.
I'm finding that my book is feeling better the opposite of the title. So the title is Uninvited. But actually the first chapter when you get into it is really about being uninvited.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So see what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. But you didn't know it was going to be, but that's how it comes when you, that's right.
Because I want to end on the positive.
That's right, yeah. I like that.
On the, what it feels like to be invited, to have invitation, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you Alan's tagline, because he had asked about his title, if it was too long or something like that. We said, no, I said, it's not too long, but it needs a good tagline. So he came, brilliant tagline. So the title of the book is Invited, Not Invited, Uninvited. And the tagline is How Real Change Comes by Invitation.
Ooh.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like...
That came together nicely.
It came together nicely. And it did, it's... Did you just clap for yourself?
No,
just clap for Alan. I'm kidding. It's awesome.
No, I left the class, toiling over that,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, not in a painful way, but
yeah.
Because really, if you guys are saying, whoa, that means the book is
that's gonna, right. It does.
Going to be takeable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to want to cook them,
yeah. That's right. Yeah. And the short description last week was like, makes you want to read it too. Because we've all been uninvited. We might know what it looks like to be invited, but we've all been uninvited. So
that's why I'm going to start there.
Yeah. That's good. That's exciting. Somebody asked me last week how tonight was going. I said, we're going to get some books out of this class. I'm like so excited.
Yeah.
So excited. All right. So any more questions? Everybody's got their stuff. So does everybody have a title?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you have a title. It's just even sort of a title, so not everybody. Okay, so raise your hand if you have a tagline. Okay, all right. So raise your hand if you have a chapters yet. Okay, so some of you did your work. Good for good. Not that you had to do your work, but good for you. Okay, so turn to page 42. Now, page 42 is filled out, can be filled out in a couple different ways. It can be filled out by using pages 38, 39, and 40. So you just look at 38 is what I already know, what I need to know, and the important scenes in my story if it's a fiction book. All right? It doesn't have to be. Okay? But that's one way you can do it. But what we're going to do, I'll talk about and do a little bit tonight. Just a few times. We're going to do Lisa's book. What's your title of your book, Lisa? Yeah. Let's tell your book, Lisa. You say you didn't look scared when you were by yourself.
You can pray like an expert.
You can pray like an expert. Yeah, sure.
I think that's what
it is. Well, you know what? And don't... I have a book... Oh, there's actually that Yes, No, Maybe So back there is for free. You guys can take one of those. It's I'm going to redo those next time I use them. But and also, so take that. And if you want another one of these workbooks, you want to share it with somebody, or you want to you just take the workbook too, because I won't be using it for a while. And but that workbook, Yes, No, Maybe So. That book that I wrote was called Defeating Double-Mindedness. And I knew that wasn't a very good title, but that's what you call it. And I sent it out, and sent it out to Jim, and I sent it out to Zeke. And Zeke came up with Yes, No, Maybe So. And it was just like a whole line of stuff. And we were all like, when we heard that title, I was like, of course that's it. Let's get rid of the 50 titles that we worked on. You know, let's get rid of that. And I think I shared when I wrote that book, I read it, I've taught on it. And now I realize it's only half a book. I need to write the other half of the book.
So if we go to Amazon, we can find all your
books. Yeah, we're going to talk about that after break. And I think we can all fit in this table and around this table later on this evening, because we're going to be done by 9. But if you want to stay, help getting your stuff together, I'll stay and help you with that. Yeah, in fact, you're going to be able to go Google yourself on Amazon too. You can just put in Les Heron at Amazon, and I pop up. You can go to my author's page. And isn't that fun?
That's fun.
And then you'll be able to share your book on Facebook. You'll be able to set it for free.
Pop up and we can talk to you?
Yeah. Okay, so you can pray like an expert. So I'm trying to think of what we're doing. Oh, yeah, chapters. So what we're going to do, have you brainstormed your chapters?
A little bit.
So give me one of your... Give me one chapter that you like.
Why pray?
Why pray? Okay, so the way you get your chapters, the way you get your title of your book or your topic is you brainstorm. Okay, the way you get your chapters is you brainstorm, which you did that for homework. So if you haven't done that, you'll need to do that. The way you get the content for your chapters is you can brainstorm. Okay? So we've got she wants to know, why should you pray, right? Is that basically your thought? So let's brainstorm about why should it... With Lisa was going to be quiet for a little bit. We're going to help Lisa out. And why pray? Why should people pray? Just go ahead and give me some... Just brainstorm together.
What's the purpose?
What's that?
What's the purpose?
What's the purpose?
Hear from heaven or God. Because the Bible says you have not because you ask for it.
All right. What else?
To bring his kingdom on earth.
He talks about.
All right. I'm going to put in here because you're in a relationship with him. God with relationship with God. Okay. It goes backwards, okay? Will that fill up a chapter?
Yes.
Yeah. And you can't use all of those. And now she can go, you know what? I'm going to like actually write a book about why you should pray. And I'm going to go through, and here's my 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 chapters. Because it never ends. That's why you don't worry about doing everything and having every thought down and everything down. Have you brainstormed this, why pray?
I brainstormed it a little bit, and then I fell in love with like my other chapter, like how to set the timer praying.
Okay.
About that, and it's got a whole tangent about... Because if you don't schedule the time, and then it's, I ended up writing about how to order your life.
To pray, in order to have time to pray. Okay, so here, this is what you realize. You might have your 8 or 10 or 12 chapters. It doesn't matter which one you write when. Mm-hmm. Okay, and go for the ones that are easiest. Go for the ones that flow. Because once you get 3 or 4 chapters around any other chapter that's not done yet, then you're like energized. You can conquer that. But I want you to think about like... So do something that energizes you, then do something that's a little bit harder, a chapter that you know that you want that's important, but it's not as easy for you to write it.
So you don't have to do them in order.
No way, not at all. Mm-mm.
You can skip around.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, some of your books are going to be like you can move your chapters around all around.
Right.
And you have to make a decision. I think that's what Kathleen was saying. It's topical, so each one has like this topic covers this and this. Probably something like this. You don't have to go in order. But what happens once you begin to write them and you give yourself permission to move them wherever you want, you will like begin to see an order that you want them to be in, or that an order that somebody else can easily find, like maybe an easier topic on prayer. And then you think about your audience too. So if Lisa's writing it to people that don't normally pray or don't feel like they're experts, there's probably an order that connects with the title of now we can like assign this is chapter 1 because this actually talks about you don't have to be an expert. That's maybe the first one, that there are no prayer experts really, that everybody can talk to God type stuff. So that would dictate her order, because this you can pray like an expert wouldn't be for people that have done a ton of praying, a ton of reading on prayer, and are prayer leaders. It would be for people that don't normally pray. That's your target.
People that are afraid to pray out loud, people that don't think they know how to pray.
Yeah. So that's
don't know where to start. That's been one.
Yeah, so that right there, so that will dictate her chapter. That also dictate the language she uses. It'll dictate how much scripture she uses, how she uses her scripture, and also what translation she uses. Mm-hmm. So that begins your book starts telling you how to write it. And you can do whatever you want and ignore your book, but you really need to like listen to your book and what your audience is going to read and stuff like that.
Well, then, because I got so excited about how to live a disciplined lifestyle,
uh-huh,
and how to like be organized so you have time to pray, that I'm like, maybe I'm starting with the wrong book. Maybe I need to write the first book about how to be organized. So
I don't know. Yeah.
But I already have a workbook in my head now.
That's awesome.
How to live.
That is really good, yeah.
You have time to pray. And then I was thinking about some of the stuff that you taught, and I was like, oh no, that's a steal. I can't.
But you should. You should.
Change the wording of it.
No, here's the thing. Dave Ramsey, we listen to Dave Ramsey a lot. Zeke Increases Company is a Dave Ramsey endorsed local provider for tax preparation. This is commercial. But anyway, so we listen to him a lot, but he'll tell you, if somebody says, you know, how do you know this? He goes, 80% of it everybody knows and everybody's used, and I make it 20% my own. He did not come up with the debt snowball. He came up with the name, the debt snowball. He did not come up with this is the way you get out of debt, and this is what you do, these seven. He borrowed that from, who's the old guy that was been doing it? Larry Burkett. Yeah, Larry Burkett. He didn't steal it, but he used it. It's out there. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows there's 1,000 books or more on how to order your time. Order your time for prayer is awesome. So you're not looking for something that's brilliant on its own. You're not looking for something that's super unusual. You're looking for a 20% that's yours and how you make it. You don't copy word for word. I saw a guy today. He's doing a workshop on how to write a book, and there's like five or six guys out there, and people now on Facebook are sending me links of other people that are doing it. And I've actually watched some of them, not the ones they sent me, but it's a very popular thing to do now. If books on prayer, people want books on prayer. It's a constant story. There will always be books on prayer. There will always be books on different things, and so go for those things, but go your way. But still whatever you want. I'm serious.
So that's okay? I mean, legally?
Well, I mean, still the idea, the thought, so you can't.
Word for word and all that.
You don't want to use Alan's title and his stuff, but if you want to go write a book on how to, you know, how to speak into people's lives, absolutely. And you like that idea? Go write one. It's going to be completely different.
No, I'm not. Okay, yeah. I don't think that's what I'm saying. Like, if you saw something on Dave Ramsey and it was a principle that he was teaching on how to get out of debt, and then you take that principle and you begin to teach it on your own, that's okay.
And you change the language? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look.
I mean, all coaches do that because we're not teaching anything new.
Well, some of us are. You're right. You're right. So
this. That if you write something, you really need to give them credit.
No, you don't give. So it's not Dave Ramsey's principles. If you copy it, you give him credit. But we're not talking copying. Yeah. You're teaching on tuning into the voice of God, on hearing God, stuff like that. Well, there's thousands of books on hearing the voice of God.
Yes.
So there's principles that are in there that are all over the places. You have the voice recognition therapy. You have your story. You have your use of scriptures.
Right.
But you're talking idea. There's nothing. I mean, have you ever noticed that, like, when a movie comes out, there's like four movies than the year and a half on airplanes.
Vampires.
Or just on whatever. There's a whole bunch of, or vampires or aliens, or you can look back in the 100-year history of movies. There's certain times where it's very, they're all written about this. You can even find movies that are just like all golf movies, or there's a bunch of boxing movies, or it's just it's seasons, it's timing, it's like a group got together and said, hey, you know what, we should write a movie together, and half of them don't want to, so they go out and write three other movies all on about an airplane. And if you use line upon the whole line they use, or here's Dave Ramsey's five principles, but if you take five principles and you come up with a, if Lisa takes six principles and she comes up and she totally changes them, P-R-A-Y-E-R, and what they mean, and they're hers, and she owns it, and she teaches it, and that's just what you do. So if you have I was listening to the guy the other day, and he has a book on drinking water. It's probably an 80 or 90 page book on water. How much water you drink, what kind you drink, what you add to it, all that stuff. And all he did was he took a bunch of resources that people had done research, and he puts it together. And it's his words. He's studying it, and then he's writing it down. It's his view on everything that he studied, everything that he's gone through. So if it's real estate, if it's relationships, if it's the Bible, I would not worry about that at all. So, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't steal stuff, but you do give credit, but I wouldn't use other people's stuff like that myself. I would use the ideas you hear when you hear something on the radio. If you like it, put that in your file. And that's what you do when you Google something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You write it on your own. You don't have to give credit to, because believe it or not, almost everything that you're thinking about a topic, so much of it has come from other things you've heard people say. And it's actually good if you're teaching something, you go, oh, you know what, I got this from Les Heron. You know, it's good. Make sure you spell my name right. All right, so hopefully everybody knows how to get a chapter, and a lot of you have chapters. Just go to page 47. I do want to go back as you're turning page 47. Don't pull anything from anybody else and just cut and paste and put it in your thing. Okay? Don't do that. Yeah, that's don't do that. But at the same time, think about what Dave Ramsey's done. He's built a multi-millions and millions and millions of dollar company based on, I was an idiot, I can help you get out of debt. That's his whole thing. And he's branching out to a whole bunch of other stuff. But he has taken things that are just true and have been true. And he's used different principles and he's got a different attitude, a different look at it, and a different story than Larry Burkett had. And that's how people write. That's how people communicate. We communicate with other people's ideas and other people's stuff. So,
well, okay. I'm still processing this.
Okay. On page 47, so we're going to talk about your front cover. And I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but you need an idea that complements your cover, okay? So I want you to write down in the next couple minutes, you can write down tree, dog, cat, but I want you to do 9 pictures that you would want to have on the front of your book. Don't self-edit. If you need to start with cat and dog at the beginning, that's fine. All right, raise your hand if you have 3 or more. Keep your hand up if you have 6 or more. Okay, I'll give you another 50 seconds or so. Okay, let's go ahead and write that last one down there. And can I use you as an example?
Sure.
So Alan's book is called Invited, Not Invited, Uninvited, How Real Change Comes by Invitation. Give him some ideas of what his front cover picture would be. It doesn't have to be like the whole thing. Just what picture would you give him?
A door.
A door, okay. A door.
A welcoming sign.
A welcome sign. That's good. Welcome, Matt, at a door.
An open door.
Good. Okay.
A table.
Why a table?
I don't know. It's the first thing that popped in my head.
A table. Somebody maybe sitting across the table. 2 people talking. at a really fancy posh cafe with a really good cup of coffee.
A revolving door.
There you go. There's definitely a door theme.
Good.
So a welcome mat with a revolving door looking into a cafe with two people talking over a cup of coffee.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I mean, think about that. I mean, you got a big draw out picture. It's all that stuff. Can you mind telling us some of the stuff you had written down there?
An open door.
Okay.
A table.
No, you didn't. Oh, that's awesome.
An invitation card. A desk and pen, like with an invitation card.
Mm-hmm.
And a mailbox.
A mailbox.
Because invitations come.
Yeah, I like that.
But I just...
You might have to explain to millennials what a mailbox is. But that's good. Awesome. Anybody else want to share what they had? Okay. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get on our computers. If you don't have one, that's okay. I'm going to work you through what you need for the front cover. We're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at Amazon, stuff like that. Okay, so take about 5 minutes.
Okay.